today on Real Radio.
We all do not have the same gift. And if somebody stands up in front of you and says, now speak in tongue, brother, you got to speak in tongue or else you're not saved. You just say, you know what, pal? You better read your Bible or you're not going to be saved.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Filling of the Holy Spirit, continues a new series called The Book of Acts. The New Testament Book of Acts took 28 years to write, written by Luke, the physician who also gave us the Gospel of Luke. The Book of Acts is the story of the first Christian church and records the Acts of the Apostles of Jesus who were filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit and sent into ministry. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus appears to the apostles after he had risen from the dead and tells them to return to the city of Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit that was promised to them by God. So they went to Jerusalem and gathered in the upper room of where they were staying. And for many days, they worshiped and prayed in one accord for God to empower them with the Holy Spirit. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that in Acts chapter 2, the apostles and the godly women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, suddenly heard a sound like a violent wind, and like a tongue of fire, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Immediately, they spoke in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. And now, continuing his lesson called The Filling of the Holy Spirit, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Do you remember when Jesus was baptized? He came up out of the water, and it said the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. It wasn't a dove. It was like a dove. A form came out of heaven, and it resembled a dove landing upon somebody when Jesus was baptized. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes in to the room, this tongue begins, or what looks like a tongue of fire, begins to dance upon their heads. Isn't that weird? And on each of them. It wasn't one tongue bouncing around on each head, or one tongue going to each head. It was each had their own little tongue on top of their head, and it was flickering. And it looked like fire. It was not fire. It looked like it. By the way, this has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with salvation. We looked at that last week. And by way of review, you ought to jot this down or at least remember it, the threefold operations of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer or one who's in the world, really, for that matter. The first one was he had been alongside them, and he's alongside you this morning if you're not a Christian. The Holy Spirit is alongside you. The word in the Greek is para. He's telling you what's wrong and what's right. He's convicting. He leads. He pushes you to Christ. That is the first function of the Holy Spirit. The second function, listen closely, is the Spirit indwelling them or becoming born again. And the word in the Greek is en. It means in. We spell it in. The Greek is en, coming in. And that happens at the point of, at the point of salvation. And you're going to want to record this in John chapter 20, verse 22. The Holy Spirit came in them when Jesus said to the disciples, by the way, it's prior to this event that we're reading about. The disciples had received the Holy Spirit and were converted when Jesus, it says, John 20, 22, breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. It was at that moment that they were baptized into the body of Christ. They became a believer. The moment you said yes to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came inside you. And in that moment, according to 1 Corinthians 12:13, you were baptized into the body of Christ once and for all. That is the one baptism spoken of in Scripture. By one baptism, we've entered into the body. That's by salvation. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit we have all been baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Salvation. But the third function is what we see happening here right now. We see the Holy Spirit coming upon them for power. And the word in the Greek is epi, epi, and it means to come on them. And here's what happens or can happen when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and certainly it's what happened when it came upon them for the very, very first time. Look at verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled. Now, I'm not going to argue terminology here, but we're going to look at the control of this thing called tongues. The control of tongues. Oh, brother, I wish you wouldn't have said that word. I can hear it now. You can feel a wall go up because you have heard about, you know, rolling down the aisles, you know, and freaking out. And I've seen those services too. And I did what you did. I ran out the back door. And well, you should. People get all uptight about this thing of tongues. They begin to, I don't want to hear about it. Oh gosh, I love this church until today, people might say. Oh, why do you even say that word? We have a reaction like that because of abuse. We have a reaction like that because people don't know what they're doing. And they're led by emotion rather than the control of God, the Holy Spirit. And I want you to watch something. Let down the wall. No one's going to burst out in tongues here this morning. Just relax and study the Word of God. Listen to this. And I'm not going to bicker about terminology. Call it filled with the Holy Spirit. Call it baptized with the Holy Spirit. I like to call it coming upon of the Holy Spirit, personally. But I'm not going to bicker about terminology. But the word baptized means, or baptizo means, to become fully wet. We looked at that last week. To be filled means to become fully furnished. And in baptism, we are completely covered or immersed in the Spirit, into the body of Christ. To be filled, we are furnished or filled to the point of overflowing because the Spirit is immersed in us. The Holy Spirit has full possession of us the moment He comes upon us or fills us. And that's what's happening right here before us. Now look, it says in verse 4 that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You ought to underline that because the Spirit is not out of control. The Spirit guides the gift of tongues. The Spirit is the one who presides over the gift of tongues. And by the way, they are imposters. There are imitations, but we're not going to talk about that right now. We're talking about the Holy Spirit being in control here. And we see what happens when He is in charge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 and 30, or through 30, the scripture says, and God has appointed these in the church. Listen now, concerning the wall that we have a tendency to build up. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, the gifts of healings, the gift of helps, the gift of administrations, the variety of tongues. You ought to circle that in 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Now listen, this is very, very liberating what Paul goes on to say in the very next verse. Are all apostles? And in the Greek, the answer is no. I'm going to ask you right now. I want you to respond as a body. Respond every time I ask this question because this is exactly how it is in the Greek. Are all apostles? No. Next question Paul asks. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. Then that ought to make you feel better right off the bat. I do not have, per se, the gift of healing, although I've laid hands on people before and I've had them, healed right on the spot. But I got to confess to you, it's happened less than it has more. I have the gift of teaching as a pastor. Every pastor should have the gift of teaching, but sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I just go, I don't know. Listen, all of us are not pastors. All of us are not evangelists. All of us do not speak in tongues. All of us do not interpret. All of us are not prophets. If we all did those things, then what on earth would we have need of you? Some of you have the gift of evangelism. Some of you have the gift of teaching. You know, James Dobson's a great example. He's not a pastor, but he has an excellent gift of teaching. Chuck Missler's not a pastor. He has an excellent gift of teaching. Billy Graham has an excellent gift of teaching, but he's not a pastor. He's an evangelist. We all do not have the same gift. And if somebody stands up in front of you and says, now speak in tongue, brother, you got to speak in tongue or else you're not saved, you just say, you know what, pal? You better read your Bible or you're not going to be saved. You better study the Word of God, because Paul the Apostle himself said, all do not speak in tongues. That's very important. And note who he wrote it to. He wrote it to the church at Corinth. Man, they were absolutely out of control. But Jack, what about the book of Mark, where it says in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18, and these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Everybody, doesn't everybody focus on the tongue part? Oh, wait a minute. Those who believe, this is what's going to accompany those who believe. They'll speak with new tongues, brother. Oh, really? Well, let me ask you something. Let's be fair to the Word of God here. If we're going to apply Mark 16, verses 17 and 18, and we should, let me ask you this. When's the last time you cast out a demon? When's the last time that you took up a serpent and gave him a kiss? And when he bit you, it didn't bother you. When was the last time you laid hands on the sick and they did not recover? When was the last time? You see what I'm saying? How silly it is when people make this a requirement for salvation? Oh, you got to speak in tongues or you're not saved. I had a guy on TV this morning who teaches that very thing. I guess I turned it on just to get all upset. And then there's the guys that used to carry the Bible and shake it and dance and do a little skip up and down. I'm not going to say the platform, I'll say the stage. And just, oh, Kawasaki, she wrote a Honda, Suzuki. And then went to teach again. You know, the Bible absolutely says if you know, the Bible absolutely says that if there's no interpreter, that you're to keep your mouth shut. And 1 Corinthians 14, are you aware of that? Oh, brother, I don't know. When it comes on me, I just lose control. Then it ain't of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's that peace. The Scripture says that God is not the author of confusion. The Bible also says that the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. That means you can say it if you want, or you don't have to say it if you don't want to. But in 1 Corinthians 14, you ought to jot it down. Don't say tongues doesn't exist anymore, because it does. You'll only look foolish. The Bible says so. It says, do not quench the speaking of tongues. Oh, so what are you saying, Jack? I'm saying if you read 1 Corinthians 14, it says there that you ought to provide an environment for it. The Holy Spirit would never stand up right here through somebody and start speaking in tongues while the Word of God is going out, because he will never interrupt himself. You don't ever have to. If somebody blurts up, hey, but, you know, we can just say, you know what, that's out of order. Because the Holy Spirit will never interrupt himself. If I'm under the influence of the Holy Spirit teaching, the Holy Spirit will not interrupt himself. And by the way, the Holy Spirit will always honor the Word of God above all things. So we need to remember that. But the church at Corinth was an abusive church. And Paul didn't say, that's it, no more tongues. He said, you guys are out of control. And he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 14 that, look, from now on, when you guys come together, we'll have three utterances in tongues, and then after that, no more. Three times in a service, and that's it. Are you aware of that? The Bible says so. Also this, if it's public, and that's what he's talking about in that particular context, if it's a public utterance, you better first of all pray that you have the interpretation, or that there's an interpreter present, someone who has the gift of interpretation. Is that in order or what? And by the way, jot this down, there is never, I repeat, never what is so-called a message in tongues. Never happened. Let's keep reading, and we'll see the reason why. It's in verse 11. Now, they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews. You got to circle Jews. Devout men from every nation under heaven. They're Jewish, or they're practicing Judaism. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because Everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Isn't that funny? We're confused. We understand exactly what's being said. Isn't that funny? What's going on? These guys are Galileans, and we hear them perfectly in our own language. That's an unfortunate translation there. It should say that they were in awe. They were blown away that these Galileans were speaking these various languages with perfect detail. And by the way, in this particular case, they were known languages of the world. Verse 7, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these Galileans? And that's a hard thing. None of us are Galileans here today, so I'm sure we'll not be offended at this, but basically it would be, aren't those guys just a bunch of totally uneducated nitwits? They're Galileans. They don't go to school. They have boat businesses and donkey caravan taxi business. They're not scholars. What on earth? Where do these guys learn this? They're shocked. It's a supernatural event. And look what happens. Verse 8, and how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born, our own dialect? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya and adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and the conversion, are those who have been converted to Judaism. That's the word proselytes, or proselytes. Those have been converted to Judaism. Here it is, verse 11. Cretans and Arabs, here it is. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Tongues, every time it appears in the Bible, gives glory and praise to God. It's never a message. There's never a sermon. There's never a prophecy. It's always praise and glory and honor to God. You ought to mark that down. You should know that. That will keep both oars in the water. You know, I praise the Lord for what God's doing here, because we've been criticized for we've been criticized by the Baptists for being too charismatic here. And we've been criticized, what did I just say? The Baptist criticize us for being too charismatic, and the charismatic criticize us for being too Baptist. It's probably the truth lies somewhere in between the two points, maybe, you know? I don't know. But you're not going to please everybody. The bottom line is, are we going to teach what men want us to teach? Or are we going to go with what the Bible has to say? And that's very important. But the guideline is it's got to be done in order. And then quickly this. Look at the works of tongues. We just read it about all these men hearing the miraculous intervention of God in their language. Publicly, listen, publicly, when tongues are manifested, there will be an interpreter necessary or no interpreter at all, because it will be a known language. You have that? It will be a known language in a public gathering, or if tongues is uttered, there must be an interpretation. The Bible reveals to us in 1 Corinthians 14 again that privately, when you're alone praying, you are to pray in a tongue, and there is no interpreter, and there's not one needed, not one required. 1 Corinthians says so. And it gives you the reasons why, and you can look at them yourself. But we're running through so many deep things here that I hope stimulate you enough before you criticize that you go study. Get the tape, listen to it over and over again. Go study and see what the Bible says. The works of tongues in verses 5 through 11. And then the purpose of tongues in verses, the end of verse 11 to verse 13. The purpose of the gift was twofold: to impress to the Jews that a miracle was in the works, in their very presence. And the purpose of the gift, the other reason, is to give God praise and thanks. We looked at that, or we mentioned that earlier. Publicly, from verses 11 to 13, let's look at it. Verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? And verse 13, we have them everywhere still. Others mocking said, these guys are absolutely stoned out of their mind. They're drunk. Isn't that funny? The purpose to impress upon the Jews that a miracle was in their presence and to give thanks and praise to God. But note this, the power. Note the power, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." I love this guy now. This is great. "For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only 9 o'clock in the morning." He couldn't say that anymore. You know, a lot of people today, they're blitzed by 7 o'clock in the morning, I guess. But here the word third hour means 9 a.m. "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And he goes right into this message. And by the way, we'll read verses 17 to 18 and be done, because so was the Holy Spirit with the little period there at the end of 18. Listen, Peter begins to quote Joel concerning the event that's taking place right then and there, nearly 2,000 years ago. "In the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." You ought to put a little mark right there in your Bible, because verse 19 has yet to be fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled when Christ returns. We want to end with this. If you ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, will you speak in tongues? You might. Oh, well, then I'm not going to ask because I don't want to look like a fool. You won't. God will never do that to you. Well, what if I ask God to fill me with the Holy Spirit and I feel this urge, and it's probably the burrito that you had. Seriously. The Spirit moves or gives us utterance, but it's not like a volcano that's going to explode and you have to evacuate the building. It's under control. And the arena will be provided. It'll be an afterglow setting where we specifically come together to wait upon the Holy Spirit. And some of you here have seen it operated beautifully that way, where there's a tongue and there's an interpretation. And it's to the praise and to the glory and to the honor of Jesus. But I spent undue time on this issue, but maybe not, because so many people are so wigged out about it. What does Calvary Chapel believe, Jack? Calvary Chapel believes that God is still using all the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called "The Filling of the Holy Spirit." Thank you for listening, and our hope is that you keep asking the Holy Spirit to fill you, to keep you comforted, and to keep His power flowing in your life. The Filling of the Holy Spirit is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We hope the first installments of this new series from Pastor Jack called The Book of Acts was informative as well as enlightening. The Holy Spirit that filled the first century church with both comfort and with power is also available for us today. So, if you want to learn more specifically about this subject or find yourself missing an episode, simply go to the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Or remember, you can always visit our website. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can write this number down and call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you could write to us if you'd like, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways that you can connect with us, like Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Contact tab. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.